Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? It's me and Dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Tuesday Takes on Takes edition of the show. Kyle, welcome.
Thought about it there for a minute, didn't you?
You know what?
It was Tuesday, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, I had an eventful morning that has me a little bit of a funk as to what day of the week it is.
Well, same. I had ants.
Yeah, I know.
Ants in my house.
Mine was different, but we're good.
Not in the pants, just in the house. No ants in the pants.
Your brand new house, Kyle. Already getting ants just crawling around in your office downstairs, man.
So it's the bugs here are the worst. It's not like Florida bugs, right? There's no like spiders the size of my face or anything like that, but the bugs are pretty nasty, and I live close to the canal, so the mosquitoes in the summertime are just brutal. So if I could change one thing about where I'm at, it would be the bugs, and then the snow would be number two.
Is there a bug-free place that you could live, like where they're just not part of the mix?
Somewhere where there's a lot of snow, I'd assume.
In the summer, though? We have listeners from all across the United States. Let us know where if you live somewhere that's bug-free. I'm anxious to find that out.
Yeah, where is utopia? Because I would love to know. Where are there no bugs?
I turned my heat on this.
Joe, I know this was a big thing for you. You told me you were trying to make it to November, and you made it.
Yeah, I always
by like a day.
We did. You know, the pregnant wife was cold. I had to cave in. It is what it is.
Listen, the remedy there is skin to skin contact. Just snuggle your wife. You keep her warm.
Yeah.
Was that not an option at this point in time?
This is a weird path for us to go down here at the start of this podcast. Tell you about our sponsor today.
Here, I'll make it easy for you. I'll change the subject, okay?
Okay, please.
I did have one thing I wanted to get into before we do takes on takes today.
Okay.
What is your vibe, if any, on the buzz of the Chargers maybe being the team that goes to play in London?
Permanently.
Yeah, you didn't see this?
No, this is new information for me.
Okay, hold on. If you have immediate thoughts, let me know while my producer pulls up some information.
Sounds like there were some issues with coming to terms on an agreement for the facility in Los Angeles, and maybe they've soured the relationship with San Diego, and their palms to the air saying, we got to go somewhere, and London could be the spot. I don't know.
Okay, so this report came courtesy of Vincent Bonsignore. I'm sure I butchered your last name, Vincent. I'm sorry. Of The Athletic. And it says, London has done everything possible to show the NFL it's prepared to be the permanent home of an NFL team. The league and the LA Chargers are willing to consider the UK as a viable new home. My exclusive for The Athletic.
Wow. That's
because they're not going to work in LA.
It's such a tough demand on the players, man. I mean, cross ocean trips all the time like that. Who's going to sign? I mean, well, that would be a very unattractive place for me to play.
I think the best case scenario is you probably have them play all of their home games. And then, or that you do them in blocks, 4-4, 4-4. You know what I mean? So it's like you go over and you go over for a month. Then you come back. And you're home for a month. And then you go away for a month.
Okay, now that's compelling. So you need to have their first four games need to be on the road. So that way every team that has to play them moving forward can be a bye week mixed into that so that they're not completely just
Correct.
Toasted. So you might have to do first eight games on the road.
So that way you would have to work a lot of magic.
Yeah.
You'd have to work a lot of magic for it to happen. But there, from a logistics standpoint, there are feasible ways for it to happen. And one of the other fascinating tidbits on this article, Joe, part of this story from Vincent said, a Chargers move to London could have a potential domino effect on divisional makeup in the AFC. And I know your heart just skipped a beat because you've been all about logistics.
Yeah. I just want the Patriots.
You
want to
know what it looks like?
Yeah, I do want it.
You want to know what it looks like?
Yeah.
The Chargers move to the AFC East.
Oh, Jesus.
The Dolphins move to the AFC South and the Texans move to the AFC West.
Come on, man.
I want it so desperately. I've never wanted something more in my life.
Because you want to be in the AFC South?
I want out. I want to be gone from New England forever. Don't bring me back.
I really liked where I was watching Dolphins Jets a little bit on Sunday, thinking to myself, man, this is the Bills competition right now in the East, and eventually this thing's going to run out with the Patriots. And I was liking where things were headed.
Well, hold your horses. You know, the Dolphins have in the last four games are 15th in the league in scoring defense with a bunch of UDFAs playing on defense.
It's just going to take a long time, man.
It'll take 2 years. Pats won't be gone for 2 years.
We better get the takes on takes, or it's going to be an hour-long show.
I mean, isn't that typically how these things go?
I don't know.
Let's get into it. Do you want...
Yeah, I'll take
Do you want it? You want it?
Yeah. I don't
care. You sure?
I don't care.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you. Take from Bush, the president, Bush.
I don't know, it's Bush, man.
Bush. Take from Bush, spelled the same way. The 2017 corner class is one of the best we've ever seen.
Yeah, good take. Marshawn Lattimore, Marlon Humphrey, Garion Conley, Trey White, Adoree Jackson. It's a good group, really good group. Mikhail Witherspoon, Shaq Griffin. That's a lot of really high-level starters. I mean, you look at the defensive backs as a whole, you throw a lot more guys in the mix. Desmond King is part of this group. Yeah, good take. Really good take. 2017 cornerback class should be celebrated for how good it was, for sure. Cameron Spencer says, if the 2019 NFL Coach of the Year were awarded today, the winner would be Kyle Shanahan, even though Frank Reich and John Harbaugh are more deserving.
I'd probably lean for this to be fact, because Kyle Shanahan has his team undefeated. I think they've won like six times more games in September and October than he did in his first 2 years combined. The 49ers look like a very tough out. They're playing extremely complimentary football. I'll buy this. Do I think Frank Reich and John Harbaugh are more deserving? I think that's probably your core group of three guys, right?
Yeah, I think that's the right mix of teams. Yeah, or coaches.
Yeah, I would not argue with anyone who wanted to rearrange that group of three however they wanted.
I think they each one of them have compelling cases, very deserving.
Now, I thank the good Lord you have this take, because I'm so tired of talking about this take.
All right.
I get this as a Dolphins guy. I get it every single day. I get it. I'm trying to talk people off the ledge. Webion Clowney said, Dwayne Haskins is going to get Josh Rosen because the Redskins are going to hire an offensive-minded head coach who's going to see Tua, Burrow, or Herbert on the board at three and decide he'd rather have that guy than Haskins.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is a situation where what's her owner's name? Daniel Snyder.
Dan Snyder
and Bruce Allen are all about some Dwayne Haskins, and this coach will be aligned with Dwayne Haskins, and they're not going to jump ship from Haskins, would be my guess right now, because it seems like a lot of that, what soured that relationship with Gruden was his lack of, the word care or attention or belief in Dwayne Haskins did not align with what the front office believed was there, and they moved on. And so I think that whoever they bring in will be aligned with Dwayne Haskins, and that's what's going to be what happens there with the Redskins. Vontel says, looking at the 2018 quarterback class, Lamar Jackson looks to be the only consistent good quarterback for Baker, Rosen, and Darnold. How much of their bad play would you place on their supporting cast, and how much on them? Glossed right over Josh Allen in this mix.
I was going to say, I see he left Josh Allen right out of this.
He sure did.
I think coaching is a very real problem in Cleveland and New York. Baker, to kind of just work through the list here, Baker to me seems like he's pressing. I don't think they're playing complementary football in terms of where Baker won a lot last year. I know they have some injuries. David Njoku being out has kind of shifted what the passing offense looks like. Baker has had a lot of drops. I know at least four of his interceptions so far this year have come directly as a result of the ball hitting guys in the hands, and they could not catch the ball when he's trying to throw them away from defenders, and results in interceptions. And then obviously the shovel pass against New England that went viral. It was the shortest air yard interception in like the last 3 years or something like that, because the guy jumped the gap and caught the ball 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So I think Baker is probably the most that I would attribute onto supporting cast. Sam just really seems like he's regressing as far as decision-making under pressure. He kind of looked like he found a balance and struck a balance with that at the end of last year over the last six games. The offensive structure is bad. The play calling's bad. They don't run the ball. So that's probably kind of a 50-50 proposition. And Josh Rosen, the supporting cast is bad there, but really he's just so mentally far behind where the expectation was that he was going to be. I think his struggles are the most, ironically, because he's had the worst supporting casts. I think his struggles are the most aligned with his own limitations right now as a player. And having to make that kind of development at the NFL level is a very, very difficult proposition. Take from Darren. The Ravens are a lock for more than 6,500 yards of offense each season Lamar Jackson plays 16 games.
So 6,500 yards of offense is 406.25 per game. So far, the Ravens this year are averaging 427 yards a game, which is not first in the NFL. Dallas is first at 436.8. Third is Houston, 396.7. I don't know, that seems certainly achievable to me. I know that the Ravens really, I mean, how many yards do they have against Miami in week one? Some kind of crazy amount.
It's like 600 something.
Yeah. So that helps, right? You can kind of disperse, you know, 50 or so extra yards across games where you don't quite hit the mark. I think between 6,000 and 6,500 seems reasonable. I mean, that's always been our thought on Lamar Jackson. He can execute a very productive, difficult to defend system, and he certainly giving that chance to happen there with Baltimore. Before we move on, I need to tell you about our sponsor, which is Blue Chew. Now, you can increase your performance and get extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this just isn't for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a deal for you. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com. promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, Kyle, some more Lamar Jackson here. This one's for you from Mr. Thick Boy. If you don't have Lamar Jackson in your top two for MVP, you're playing yourself.
Can I say top three, or am I still playing myself?
Look, Mr. Thick Boy says two. I'm not arguing with the man.
Listen, I don't think I should have torches and pitchforks on my front stoop if I told you my top two were Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson.
Why do you hate Lamar Jackson, Kyle?
I don't hate Lamar Jackson.
Wow. Not even in your top
two. He's third. Okay, so if that makes me the bad guy, I've said before on this show, every good story needs a bad guy. Let me be that guy for having Lamar third in my MVP voting right now.
Above Christian McCaffrey, Kyle?
Yes, above Christian McCaffrey. Are you offended by that take?
No.
That's my take for you.
I agree with you. It's okay. It's Russ and Watson, right?
Those are my top two.
Yeah, I agree. Lamar's in there. He's doing a great job.
Orville Redenbacher.
Poppingcorn.
Take. DK Metcalf's immediate production this season has exceeded the expectation of even those who saw him as a top prospect last year.
So, translation, Joe, is DK Metcalf even better than you thought he would be? I think that he's in the absolute perfect situation for him to be productive in with Russ Wilson. They're using him on the vertical plane. You have an accurate deep thrower, a guy that can work off script and really take advantage of what DK does best. And so I think he's been in the optimal position for him to accentuate what he can do, but I can't say that I'm surprised. I thought this was exactly the type of dynamic football player he could be in the NFL, and he's in the right situation to prove that. And I mean, the question I would have is, why did everyone think he had to run routes like Antonio Brown for him to be productive in the NFL? Why couldn't we not see past that and realize that this is the type of stuff that he can do, and it's freaking hard to stop?
Joseph?
Sir?
We have breaking news.
Cam Newton's out for the year.
Cam Newton is out for the year. Injured reserve.
Yeah, Nick Foles is the starting quarterback for the Jaguars. Benched.
Oh, they did it.
They did it.
I can't believe they did it.
St. Doug Marone benched Gardner Minshew.
What an idiot. How can you do that?
I don't know.
I mean, I get it because you're paying him a ton of money. But I don't know. I would really rather look to get as much reps for Gardner as possible. But, of course, the game before Nick's eligible to come back, Gardner plays his worst game of the season, right?
Worst game of the year. Yep, no question.
Are you aware that DK Metcalf is averaging 18.1 yards per reception this season?
I guess you couldn't have asked me 5 seconds ago to recite that, and I could have said it accurately, but it doesn't seem surprising to me.
He's first in rookies in yardage with 525 yards and 5 touchdowns.
And how many
18.1 yards per catch. He's on pace for 933 yards and 9 touchdowns this year.
It's not bad, Kyle. You know,
21 years old.
Turns like a battleship.
Yeah. Turns out, you ask him to run the routes, he knows how to run. He does pretty good on him. It's crazy.
Calvin Johnson made a freaking Hall of Fame career out of running slants and goes.
Careful.
The sports nut. He says, after teams are watching Lamar Jackson this season, Jalen Hurts will be a first-round lock in this year's draft. Hurts and Jackson were both great athletes and good but not great passers.
I think Lamar's arm was notably better coming out of Louisville than what Hurts' arm is. I do think that is the blueprint for a team who wants to target Jalen Hurts early. Do I think he's a first-round lock? No, I don't think he's a lock, but I think there's a good chance he ends up sneaking in before the end of the top 32.
Yeah.
What do you think? Where are you at on that?
Man, it's tough because I see the NFL go for Project D-type quarterbacks with good traits. I mean, he's a better prospect than E.J. Manuel, who went 16, right, Kyle? So I think that's what's always hard about this discussion. I can see it.
But I can also tell you that going into the season, I couldn't see it. So he's played himself into this conversation, and he deserves a lot of credit. Mm-hmm.
Now, thank God you have this take, because I am triggered by it. And I'm just going to mute my mic when I'm done reading, so any cuss words that come out don't get picked up.
I might not spend a whole lot of time.
Dion says, Jacob Eason is just Brock Osweiler with a better arm.
Eason moves better than Brock, right? Like, for starters? Do you agree with that?
Eason needs to stop trying to spin out to his left.
Sure, but he still moves. Brock could not move, right? Like, Eason can move.
Yeah, Brock being 6'7 was so long and gangly that any kind of redirectional step or slide that he tried to take in the pocket took about a decade to... Brock Osweiler in the pocket is like DK Metcalf trying to run a whip route. Just wasn't going to work.
I don't know. I don't think I agree with this. I think Jacob Eason moves better and has better arm talent. So, I mean, right off there, that gets me off the belief that he's just Brock Osweiler with the better arm. I think that's underselling Eason. And obviously it's always easy to do that when you have a finished complete career and Brock Osweiler to reflect on, and you have a guy that seems to have some talent but hasn't played, and it's easy to kind of put your eggs in those basket. I think he has a higher ceiling than Brock, who I was never, you know, overly fond of. Charlie Gross, this is spicy. He says, I think there is a greater than 50% chance that the Browns pick first overall. The remaining games are Bills, Pittsburgh, Miami, Pittsburgh, Bengals, Cardinals, Ravens, Bengals. This is yours. You can deal with this.
Wrong.
They're winning some of those games, right?
Yeah. I mean, they'll lose to Buffalo. I think they'll split with Pittsburgh. I think they have enough talent that they can split with Pittsburgh. So that's one. They'll beat Miami.
Especially if it's two times in 3 weeks, right? Like,
right.
If that's really, I think that is how the games go in order. So I agree with you. They'll win 2 out of 3, Pittsburgh, Miami, Pittsburgh.
And then they play the Bengals, Cardinals. Yeah. So now you've won 3. So now you're up to 5 wins. Then you play the Cardinals. Take it or leave it, right? Let's say, for the sake of argument of assuming the worst, they lose that game.
Yeah.
So now they're 5-9, and their last two are Ravens, who they've already beaten this year, and then the Bengals again. I think they'll beat the Bengals might not get more than one win they get a win.
Their floor is probably 5 wins, right? And that's not first pick. That's probably 6th or 7th this year.
Probably. Yeah.
Peloton is offering a limited time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started.
Joe.
Ooh, I'm glad I'm getting this one.
Joe, I have a personal question for you first. Just an impromptu question, since we're talking about our sponsor today, Peloton. When's the last time you're on a bike?
A bike?
Yeah, when's like the last time you were on a bike?
Like an exercise
could be a
bike?
It could be stationary. It could be a real-life bike that you go out and ride down the street with the little pegs on the wheels and whatever.
Probably May.
Really?
Yeah.
I was expecting a longer lull than that.
Well, I mean, when I'm in a gym groove, I always finish off by just kind of cooling off on a stationary bike and just scroll through Twitter. To cool down, because it takes me a while.
That's the best life.
Yeah.
Cardio simultaneous with either Twitter or grinding tape.
I can't grind tape. I can't.
Imagine. You get so much more tape grinding done.
Well, I
grind tape at dinner.
You can see, I know I've seen this, but can you see it on like your iPhone? With your body moving?
It depends on what kind of equipment you're on. If I'm on a treadmill, no way in hell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Treadmill or elliptical. Yeah, a stationary bike. Yeah, sure. That's fine.
No, an elliptical you can.
Not me.
Just you got to hold on with the handles. Josh. Wait, no. Joey LaFaro is first take. Yeah, Chipotle is claiming maximum scoopage by their chips. Ipso facto. Hashtag new vocab for Joe. They are claiming they can scoop better than Tostitos scoops.
Let me talk about this. First of all, Tostitos scoops are good when the bowl of dip is full of dip, right? When you're getting to the bottom of the salsa in the bowl, a Tostitos scoop is the last thing that you need, okay? And so that's why I think they're overrated for what they're billed out to be. You know, I'm looking for half-broken ones to get the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah, they're shaped like bottle caps. Like, that's going to freaking help me dig out salsa there at the bottom.
Right. Wonderful for when I have, you know, a full container. Ipso factor, he said he hashtagged this new vocabulary for Joe, and that is
ipso facto. Enemy,
it's the enemy of one's enemy. By the very fact or act is what it's defined as. So I don't think I know what the Chipotle chips are like, though. So that's going to be my problem here.
This should have been a question for Trevor.
Yeah.
Trevor would have gone on a 10-minute monologue about Chipotle chips.
I don't ever get them. I think they're a little bit pricey. And
it's like $4 for a bag. Go pound sand.
Right. And like, I think I don't know what, like, their sauce is weird. I don't know. I can't get into it. All right. So I don't know.
Guac?
Onion. It's pre-made and it has onions in it. I can't do it.
Oh, I wish everyone once in their life would go out to a meal with Joe so you can hear him ask the waiter if it comes with onions. And if they say yes or if they say no, Joe's response is always the same. Well, I'd like for it to not.
We're spending some time together here very soon here, Kyle. And so you'll get to see that firsthand. Man,
I can't wait.
You can never be so sure, man, that there's no onions in something. They're so bad. They ruin the whole thing you're eating. I always run into these situations where there's like a rogue onion that finds its way into something I'm eating. I eat that bite and it'll ruin your day. It's so bad.
Ruins the meal.
Oh, it's all you taste is a freaking onion, man. What a terrible, disgusting food. All right. Josh says it's a homer take, but with the Packers loss in LA, the Saints have the clearest path to number one seed in the NFC, as they have an easier back half of the schedule than the 49ers, and the matchup between the two is at the Dome.
This is a good take. Not to mention New Orleans, went freaking undefeated with Drew Brees out for 5 weeks?
That was really impressive. We thought they can go 500, maybe one above, and they crushed it.
Yeah, we said the estimate was six games, and we said, all right, New Orleans goes 3-3 in those games. They're in good shape. They might win 10, 11 games, you know, maybe get a home game in the wild card. Nope. Went undefeated 5 games for Teddy Bridgewater. So, yes, I agree, especially because, as he said, that game with the 49ers matchup in a couple weeks is in New Orleans. So I think that is a huge advantage for New Orleans, even though they are a game behind San Francisco at this point in time.
Kyle, San Francisco plays at Baltimore on December 1st at 1 o'clock. Can we get that flexed to a primetime game?
Please?
I would love that. Someone needs to get the boot there on December 1st. Sorry, whatever the game is. It's not more compelling than the 49ers.
Imagine the fireworks that are going to be on display in that game.
Yeah, fun.
Imagine the fanfare if Baltimore wins that game. Baltimore would have beaten San Francisco, and they spanked New England.
Yeah, they'll have. I mean, that. I guess the thing about San Francisco, or you're talking about Baltimore.
Yeah, if Baltimore beats Baltimore. San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking over San Francisco's resume of wins, and there's nothing that really, you know, that.
Oh, careful now, you're going to get people triggered. Don't finish that sentence. I know where you're going with it.
They don't have. They've been kicking teams' ass, but they don't have a resume win. They don't.
Well, they play Seattle this week.
Yeah, they have their chance to get them, and they've built. I mean, they've won so many games already that they can have some bumbles along the way and still get to the postseason for sure. But,
bumbles.
Yeah. What's the signature win here, Kyle? On the 49ers resume,
three points against Arizona. On Thursday night?
Carolina 51 but no, I mean, see,
probably that's probably their best win right now. But they got to play Seattle twice. They got to play New Orleans. They got to play Baltimore. We're gonna find out. I think they are for real. But I even if they don't go undefeated against those four teams in those four games, it's fine. Just don't get swept.
Baltimore has back-to-back wins right now over Seattle and New England. That's fucking impressive.
And Seattle was in Seattle, wasn't it?
Yes, they went in there and won by 14 points.
Yeah. Impressive football team right now, man.
Now, the Ravens have also lost to Cleveland. And it took overtime to beat Pittsburgh, and they beat Cincinnati by 6. I don't know. It's the NFL,
yeah,
man.
But throw the Pittsburgh game out, though. That's such a hot rivalry game. You could throw the records out anytime those two teams play.
I feel, obviously with the Bills, it's a big talking point. I haven't beat anyone. They played two good teams and lost when they played. I'm like, I don't know. What do people want you to do? Beat the Patriots every week?
Yes.
I think so. All right. This one's for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyler Lockett is a top 5 wide receiver.
Man, I love Tyler Lockett, but I don't think that's true. I think I can easily name 5 receivers that I think are better. Nuke Hopkins, Michael Thomas. Yeah. Did you have something to say there?
I want you to finish your 5.
Oh, Julio Jones, there's 3. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so please, everyone, bear with me.
Well, pins and needles here.
Yeah, this is a lot of pressure. Tyreek Hill.
But DK Metcalf.
No, that's not fair.
I'm just teasing everybody. Calm down.
Amari Cooper. He's top 10. He's a top 10 receiver. I don't know if he's top 5.
He's one of the top 5 most productive wide receivers right now, but I think there's a difference between production and skill / talent.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Lockett probably makes the most of his talent.
Mm-hmm.
Relative to the production he gives. I mean, some of these other guys you mentioned are like elite height, weight, speed mismatch guys. Tyler's not that. He's just tiny and quick as shit.
Yeah. Okay, this one's for you. It's Jim Nagy.
Yeah, it is. I love you, Jim.
Turned in by Dennis. Southern Cal wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. would be a household name in college football if people on the East Coast were awake to see him play most weeks.
Well, I think this is a big problem for the Pac-12. I think that's a pretty fair assessment that if you asked a casual college football fan right now who Michael Pittman is, are they going to know who you're talking about? Let me see here. Michael Pittman Jr., I'm pulling up his stats right now because I want to be able to speak intelligently on the topic.
He's had some whopper games, man.
Wow. He has already set career highs in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns this year. He is a senior. 58 receptions for 792 yards and 8 touchdowns through 9 games so far this season. He should, health willing, play in at least 4 more. So he's about 2/3 of the way through his season, which means he's on pace for 90 catches, 1,200 yards, and 12 touchdowns at SC. With the musical chairs that they've got going on playing quarterback. He is an impressive physical specimen, man. 6'4", 220. There is a subsection of football who is going to just love this guy for the ground and pound that he can bring to the table and be a physical receiver. But at the same time, over his career, he's averaging almost 16 yards a catch.
Yep.
He averaged 18.5 yards per catch last year, 41 catches for 758 yards. So I think maybe not necessarily from an NFL draft angle, from how he's coveted as a prospect, but as far as being widely regarded and a household name, I think Jim's probably more right than wrong here.
Bryan Edwards and Michael Pittman will probably be the two hardest valuations at wide receiver I do this year. Because I think they're big.
Oh, and it's already
guys.
Hard because, yeah.
They're big body guys that I don't know if they're going to run particularly fast. And we've seen those guys all across the board in terms of where they get drafted. We've seen guys that are that big and that productive that run in the 4.4s that fall somewhere on day 3. So it's tough. It's really, those guys are going to be really challenging.
And it's even more complicated because of how good the wide receiver class is. We talked right. about, you and I talked about that individually last night.
Yeah.
Very good class.
Tis.
All right, two more. We're going to make them quick. Take from Mitch. Jamie Newman, Wake Forest quarterback, deserves some respect. With great pocket awareness and a strong arm, I take Newman over the likes of Jordan Love and Jake Fromm.
Yeah, he's very interesting. Junior quarterback, completing 67% of his passes, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Obviously, Wake's offense is unbelievably productive. He gets the football out to those guys, Scotty Washington, Sage Surratt, good tight end there, Jake Freudenthal. He's super toolsy. You know, I think it's – I haven't quite thought of him in the light of an NFL quarterback quite yet, but, I mean, 6'4", 245, he's got size, arm talent. He's an athlete. I mean, he's going to get a chance. And so I'm anxious to dig into him a little bit more and find out the truth on him. I know he's just a junior, so we'll see. I don't always anticipate Wake guys come out, but he's interesting and, really different than Love and Fromm, in my opinion. Maybe closer to Love in terms of physical gifts. He's much bigger, but, you know, Love has a ton of inconsistency with him, and Fromm's nothing like him. He's more of a very cerebral, smart quarterback that is, you know, doesn't have nearly the physical gift. So yeah, he deserves some respect. I'll give you that. I'm not ready to start pegging him among guys that we're a little bit more familiar with. Last one here comes from Doctor, who says, in honor of BMF title being fought for in the UFC this weekend, who is the BMF in the NFL? I say Aaron Donald. What are the others that might give Donald a run for his money?
Do you know what the BMF belt stands for?
No.
Baddest motherfucker.
Is that really what they call it?
Yeah, so this was a title belt that The Rock designed and said that he was going to give to the winner of a fight from this past weekend at UFC 244. So who is the baddest man in the NFL? Toughest SOB, you know, that kind of angle is where they went with it. Aaron Donald's definitely in the top two.
Yeah, he definitely is. I feel bad that names like Sue and Perfect are coming to my head, but that's just because they're dirty players.
I got one.
Okay.
Calais Campbell.
Oh, that dude. That is a dude. Yeah, that's a good call. You ever see this guy?
He's a monster, man.
Jesus Christ. What about Quentin Nelson?
That was the offensive lineman that first came to my mind. Because I'm sitting here thinking, all right, if it's Donald, like, if I was going to have a guy to counter Donald, who would I want? And Nelson's probably the pick there. But if I'm just going off, like, height, weight, speed, size, length, power. Calais Campbell's definitely in there too.
What about AP?
For a skill guy?
Yeah. I'm not going to fight him against Donald or Nelson or Calais Campbell, but
right, for a skill guy.
That dude's an animal.
Still, I mean, that's still, you see the stiff arm he put out?
To Levi Wallace? Yeah, Kyle. Yeah, thanks. I was there.
Yeah.
179-pound Levi Wallace going high on AP. What
he
the
said,
hell did he
sit
expect was
going to happen? Sir, thank you.
Good night. Yeah, that's, why'd you soften good. That up? Oh, you see that, Joe? You watch the Bills games? Yeah, I saw his ass get ran the frick over.
I was just making sure. I didn't know. Maybe you got up and went to get some some water or something.
Wouldn't happen.
Okay. Wouldn't happen. That's great. I'm glad to hear it. That's going to do it for us. Listen, tomorrow we have quarterbacks coach Steve Clarkson on the show. We're excited. The show is going to be out a little bit later than normal because we're doing our interview with Steve in the afternoon. So keep an eye out for it. And then we'll be back on Thursday, regularly scheduled release time, to get into the college football picks against the spread. Joe, I think for objectivity, we should adhere to the rules of College Game Day. We will be in town for the game. For the sake of professionalism, we may need to skip betting on LSU-Alabama. What are your thoughts?
No, we're not calling the game. The reason Curbstreak doesn't pick the game is because he's commentating on it during the game.
Do you know what that spread is right now?
I have no idea.
Do you? I have no idea either. No, no clue. Okay. Somebody tweet us and tell us what the line is. Thanks as always for listening to Draft Dudes. Come back and see us again tomorrow.